Blog Talk Radio.
The fear of socialism, again. As joblessness and deep hunger creeps across America, politicians have pulled out the fear card, socialism, to ensure that voters stay in their place. Astonishingly, for almost a century, this ploy has worked. It almost worked when President Herbert C. Hoover ran against Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal, which Hoover decried as socialism and a threat to the American way. Roosevelt won in a landslide, for the country was still in the grips of the Great Depression and numb with hunger. Across the country today, we see food lines stretching for miles. American hunger. The 1932 elections brought with it Social Security, and market forces have opposed it ever since. Even though it didn't cover farm workers, predominantly blacks and Mexicans, it kept the wolf from millions of Americans' doors. Although much time past. Fear is raised again. The fear? Socialism. It still tends to have a foreign ring to it, but it's about as American as hunger itself. Prison Nation. This is Mumia Abu Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, I hope you all were able to hear me. Oh, goodness, it looks like we might have been on mute. I was playing something from Mumia. Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to try to play that again. It looks like we had the mic on mute, so you might have missed that. So we're going to play that again. At any rate, family, my apologies. I just noticed I looked at my boards, and it just looked like we were not broadcasting. Again, this is Empress Chi, and we will attempt to play that piece again for you. We were playing something from Mumia Abu-Jamal, and I'm going to cue that back up for you in a moment. But at any rate, this is a special edition of New Day. And, of course, tomorrow kicks off the first day of Kwanzaa. And, of course, with that, we're talking about umoja, unity. Well, needless to say, that's something that a lot of people have talked about. But, unfortunately, we obviously have not been able to really do it to the extent that we need to, that we must do, and certainly I dare say if we don't, there's going to be a serious price to pay in the very near future. And so what we want to make sure that we're able to do, family, is, you know, help facilitate in whatever way possible the capability to bring about greater unification. So this program, particularly for 2021, we're going to put forth not just an assertive effort, but we're going to put forth an effort in such a way that it's going to almost be like the little phrase they said, the Godfather, they're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Well, with that said, the Ma'atik Epoch is on the horizon, and we're going to tell you more about what that actually represents. In real time, we've been talking about it for the past couple of years, and now it is, in fact, in our midst. How do we know? Well, just take a good look outside. And maybe not right now, but when you go out or when you are thinking about it, just remember what's going on right now. Obviously, something's happening. And I can tell you, you know, from my personal experiences, what I'm seeing and hearing from people, man, it is something else. And we've got to pay attention. And listen, those who are stuck on stupid, unfortunately, you may become, or they may become, casualties of war. Yep, Unfortunately, enough time has passed. It's been at least 100 years that we know our people have attempted to educate us, inform us, prepare us, you name it. It has happened in these past 100 years. So in this day and age, with people having, everyone has a telephone pretty much. Certainly, you know, many have computers and other kinds of tools. Information is readily available. And so for people to think that there's going to be a way of continuing to act like we don't know what's going on and, you know, people are just allowing others to manipulate us, to maneuver in such a way that it just does not in any way, shape, fashion, or form enables us to advance. The Boule is in every city, needless to say, and certainly if not the actual physical entity, the modes of operations are there. Well, some have come to the conclusion that these things must now be dealt with, and so they shall. Needless to say, don't believe me, just take a good look outside. And for those who don't know, with the corona vaccine coming, well, what do you think that really is? Well, anyway, we're going to talk more about corona in some of our upcoming sessions. You know, we've been doing some incredible Zoom programs. Big ups to all of you who have supported our platform, particularly in this past month or so. We've been really hitting it hard and bringing a lot of good information. So let's go back to tonight. Tonight we are going to, again, kind of talk about some things that are coming up, right? We're getting ready to go into a so-called new year. Some people saying the age of Aquarius. We say it's the age of the Maotic Epoch. So rather than to keep phrasing what Europeans say a time is, we deal with self-determination and create our own time period. And we dare say it's truly time for some real truth, some real justice, etc. Now, we're finding that most folks can't handle the truth. But hey, we've done our part, many of us, and we are now going to make certain that we honor our ancestors, do the work that we know we're supposed to do, and not allow those who just want to be naysayers and pains in the behind, we're not going to let them keep doing this, period. All right. And so, with that said, moving right along. In a few moments, we're going to talk to and with a sister who has been in the movement for quite a few years, several decades, as a matter of fact. And it's interesting because I was just talking with one of my elders a few weeks back and asking if he would assist us in some of the next operations that we're getting ready to do and bringing forward the MWM Universal Movement. And with that, a million Black women rising. And of course, some of our timing has been put on hold due to corona, but, you know, we're pretty, you know, just adamant about what we're going to do. So we're going to figure some of this out, even if we have to do it virtually. We put it on hold a year ago. Actually, I think it's going to be this year. We put things on hold, but next year we're going forward with it. With that said, for next year, for the anniversary, for the Million Woman March, we'll be bringing forward something called the Mothers, Daughters, Sisters of the Movement. Okay, this will be a national reunion for Black women. Okay, in such a way that it will connect and celebrate and continue the movement work that our sisters from all generations, from all areas of operations, civil, you know, social, you name it, but anything that's relevant to us as a people in terms of justice and freedom. So 2021, we're bridging the gaps, as they say, the gaps that have really allowed us to not be organized, not to be in a manner of unity, okay? And definitely not in a level of productivity that we know Black women can and must be about. And so with this Mothers, Daughters, Sisters of the Movement, this will bring together black women from the UNIA, from the ANC, from the AAPRT, of course, the Nation of Islam, RAM, SNCC, you name it. As long as it was a reference to us fighting for our freedom, fighting for justice. We want to bring all of these sisters together, share some of the stories, share some of the information, share some of the experiences, and now also be in place to make sure that these things can be passed on in a way that's going to be really productive. I do not know if this ever happening before, except for the Million Woman March, y'all. We brought all kinds of sisters together from all parts of the world. Well, this is a kind of similar but a little different. This specifically focuses on the socio-political kinds of organizations, groups, activities, movements that have happened over the past 100 years. Okay, this is incredible. So again, we're hoping we don't have to do it virtually, but we're prepared to do that if we do have to. So again, we're going to tell you more about that. We're in the process of organizing that. Some of the Zoom meetings and telephone conference calls meetings coming your way. And we have seven sister cities. And so we're planning to do various things in the next year specifically for those sister cities or with those sister cities. And we said that MWM would be coming forward as the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. We said we'd be doing that for 2020. Well, here it is, the Black Print. 2020 to 25 is now going to be unveiled, at least to the degree for you to really see what we're really getting ready to do, what we've been working on for several years. And I think you're going to be really pleased, to say the least, with some of what we're going to be bringing forward. So at any rate, tomorrow, again, Umoja, unity. Well, tomorrow there's going to be a powerful, powerful conference. Now, for those of you who have gotten our email earlier, you will also be getting a text. If you haven't gotten it, we can definitely send out the emails. But we want you to register for this powerful conference, or shall I say Zoom meeting conversation tomorrow. You know, I'm kind of in between the generations, meaning I always say I wasn't here for the good stuff, you know, during the 60s and the real black liberation kinds of things. I came in at the tail end, but there was still some incredible energy there. And I was just so, you know, wanting to be a part of that, right? Unfortunately, it was really gone by the time I came in. But again, there was enough going on, enough people still, you know, somewhat accessible. And so over the years, the Black Liberation Movement unfortunately lost a lot of its fervor, a lot of its impact, but it never died completely. And definitely the impact that it did have is indisputable. Needless to say, in any time period, particularly when you're fighting for justice and liberation, there's going to be contradictions. There's going to be other things that impact those movements. And certainly such things happen, such as COINTELPRO, that definitely interfered with the capability of our people moving forward and also being able to make the kind of progress that we needed to make. COINTELPRO put a serious dent in things, but also there were other internal struggles that complicated issues and things. I'm really very pleased and honored to be able to talk with a sister and bring her to you in a few moments as well to begin to examine some of the things that happened in terms of COINTELPRO, of course, that being how we have too many of our brothers in particular who are incarcerated primarily because of the courageous stance that they took in terms of us as a people. But also there are other things that hindered growth and development then as well as now. Now, before we go on any further with that, what we want to do is mention to you, of course, today, for many, they are observing, you know, Christmas, all right? And what we want to kind of ask a question, and we're not going to go to the lines right now to get responses or answers, but we're going to ask the question as to, you know, what is this day about? Where did it come from? And why are people still kind of gravitating to it in the way that they are in this day and age? But we're going to also put another little question out there to you, and that is, what if, for those who kind of, you know, move towards certain belief systems, and this is all across the board, because most do believe that if something has to come to make things happen to the degree of real change in a whole, you know, bigger realm, okay, it looks like nature's going to play a major role right now, to be honest with you. But let's say that there is a spiritual thing that's going to happen. Well, the question I want to ask is, what if that spiritual thing is in fact connected directly to the Black woman? Now, I know that's not something that most has given any thought about, but I'm asking you to give some thought to it, because there is a clear indication nowadays that obviously something's going to happen that hasn't really happened before, just like we're looking at Corona. Something similar has happened, but not quite like this. So perhaps if there's going to be change, perhaps there's going to be change that comes in a way that never came before. We're going to talk more about that later. At any rate, let us go to our live line, and we're going to get ready to talk with, again, a sister who, she was on our program some time back, but tomorrow, again, there is a Zoom meeting, a what's known as a Black Liberation Movement Umoja talk. And in that, the examination of the Black Liberation Movement, and we're going to do this, it appears it's going to happen in several sessions, which I'm going to have a sister to talk more about. We're talking about Sister Teresa Alamine, who's going to be joining us in a few moments. And again, it is imperative that we know and understand our history, right? Well, particularly when you talk about fighting an enemy, particularly when you're talking about obtaining justice and freedom, you kind of got to know more about the history, particularly as it pertains to those who have kind of already, you know, tread that road or went down that path. You know, the forerunners and some of the groundbreakers, it behooves us to know more about that. But again, we need to also know how to grow and develop from some of that great work. So tomorrow, there's going to be some conversation about that, but there's going to be two specific topics. One, of course, again, is going to be how can we unite to a greater extent as it pertains to freeing our political prisoners. And the other question for me that's going to be presented, I find this one, you know, quite interesting and intriguing, and it is, what can be done to rid of the patriarch kind of behavior, shall we say, destructive kinds of programming and other things as it pertains to, you know, the Black Liberation Movement and those things relevant to that. That's going to be an interesting dialogue for me. And I'm looking forward to participating in it, given the fact that I've studied it for the past 20 years. Oh, yes, as quiet as it's kept. And just like the sister who you're going to meet is writing a book about it also, not just about that, but, you know, I'm working on a book called The New Philadelphia Negro. Well, let me tell you, the things I've learned about some of that now, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to put it on paper. Because it is such a mentality, and I'm learning more and more each day how even people with really good intent of wanting to help our people have just, you know, really gotten locked into just being a Negro. And what I'm talking about when I say Negro is they just don't want to go beyond wanting to really strive for real freedom. Okay. Anyway, let's get ready to go to our live line. And joining us right now is Sister Teresa Alameen, and she's going to talk to us about a project that's going to be taking place tomorrow, a program that's going to be taking place tomorrow. And again, I'm encouraging everyone to go register. We're going to tell you how to do that. It's free, but you do need to register. And listen, it's top notch, okay? Some of the people that are participating are truly, truly pioneers when it comes to Black liberation. And so, again, it's one thing to talk about Black liberation. It's another thing to connect directly to it. And I dare say that's one of the things that's missing in some of the kinds of activities that I'm seeing today, is that there's no real connectivity to history in such a way that we are really striving to continue some of the great work and accomplishments of those who have come before us in recent time. So it's okay for folks to talk about how great our history is and what we did in antiquity and all of that. I'm all down with that. But what about what we've done in the past few decades? What about those who have made sacrifices in recent time, all right? How are we upholding those things? How are we connecting to it? So anyway, we're going to make sure that here on New Day, we're not trying to reinvent any wheels unnecessarily. We are about continuing legacies, though. At any rate, let's go to our live line and welcome our sister, Teresa Alameen. Greetings to you, sister.
Greetings. It's so good to hear your voice and your enthusiasm. I'm just so appreciative that you're going to be joining us as a speaker at the Kwanzaa Umoja Unity Talks on Saturday, December 26th, via Zoom from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I've been seeing how you've been promoting it. And we're up to about 60 registrations. The Zoom account that we have is open to 100 participants, and we really want to make it to that number. I do want to say to all of your listeners that unity is the ever elusive component of the Black liberation movement. The fragmentation that we have experienced all of the time I've been involved from the age of 17 with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee when Stokely Carmichael came to our classroom at Tuskegee in 1965 and said, "I'm for Black Power. I'm with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Will you join me?" And we all raised our hands in the classroom that day. I was 17. It was my first year. And over these years since then, the 55 years of being involved in the Black Liberation Movement, I've watched the alphabet soup that we've been creating over the years. We just keep creating organizations. The shelf life is usually about 10 years. So one very important organization that formed in 1998, everybody from the Black Liberation Movement was at that meeting in Chicago when the Black Radical Congress formed in June of 1998. By May of 2008, we were holding the funeral for that organization. And it has a lot to do, unfortunately, with egos and an attempt to have hegemony. So at the same time that the funeral was happening for the Black Radical Congress, a new organization was being born called the Black Left Unity Network. That died from 2008 to 2018. I was at what amounts to be the funeral of that organization. So you have two organizations over a 20-year period that have come up and died. Well, the meeting that we're having tomorrow, we want to focus in on work. And the work that we've got to do right now is to get our overwhelmingly aging brothers out of the gulags of the United States government. And I am talking Mumia Abu-Jamal, I'm talking Russell Maroon Schultz, I'm talking Imam Jamil Alami, I'm talking all of the political prisoners that are dying death by incarceration. They may not have a death sentence hanging over them anymore, but their incarceration is literally killing them, and we've got to get them out. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about how can we come together to put pressure on Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Congressional Black Caucus and whoever we can put pressure on to get our people out. So we will be discussing that in addition to how can we end a sense of male domination in a period where black women are definitely emerging as a powerful force. And we've got to be able to acknowledge that, sister, because there's no question about it. Black women are rising up in new and different ways for change. And one of the important things about the Black Radical Congress is that there was a feminist component to it. And so Barbara Ramsey, who wrote the Ella Baker book, and Leif Mullins, who was married to Manning Marable. They were the two women who were part of that five-person committee, which included Bill Fletcher, Abdul Al-Kalaman, and Manning Marable. They came together over a three-year period to get us to the founding Congress of the Black Radical Congress in 1998. Well, the women came together in October of that year at a special meeting in Chicago. Several of us who expressed some concerns about some things that had happened that involved kind of male domination during the Congress. And one question that a sister asked, what would it take for us to be free? And the other was black women. So the question for us as black women was, what would it take for us to be free? And all the different politics in the room, and people were saying, you know, capitalism, yeah, everything. And then we finally discussed it, and it was such a beautiful sense of unity because we came to an agreed-upon conclusion that in order for us to be free as black women, we must end capitalism, imperialism, patriarchy, and white supremacy. And when we are free, everyone else will be free too. And so it was with that conclusion that I formed the Southern Anti-Racism Network. So we're an organization committed to that clarity. We must end capitalism, imperialism, patriarchy, and white supremacy for black women to be free. And when we're free, everybody else will be free too. So that's part of the conversation that is emerging in these unity talks. The Southern Anti-Racism Network is a 22-year-old nonprofit organization. And we've raised the money to do what we hold very strongly as a principle of providing honoraria to speakers who have been in the movement for a very long time, and they may not have a guaranteed monthly income with pensions and social security. I was a union person, Empress, so I had union jobs, so I got three pensions and my social security. But I find that many of the comrades who participated in the movement, especially in SNCC, where they were committed and got $10 a week worked their pay as field workers for SNCC back in the day. And many of those SNCC workers are still committed to the movement, and their income is not what it should be based on what they've committed to. I keep telling all my comrades, go out and speak at these colleges. You could tell a lot, and let the colleges pay you. And so that's a way of earning income. But we have to, those of us in the movement who raise money as nonprofit organizations, I'm committed to seeing that. And just in the spirit of full transparency and full disclosure, we're paying, providing, I should say, honoraria to the speakers mm-hmm. who are speaking of $200 each. And then we have eight people who are providing cultural presentations, and their budget was also $1,000. So they decided to divide to split that equally. So they'll be earning $125 each for the eight cultural artists who will be doing the Kwanzaa.
Wait a minute.
So we're real excited about being able to do this. We set aside $2,000 as an organization during the Kwanzaa to say, let's talk about unity and be serious about it, but we won't stop with small because the organization is making a five-month commitment to the unity talks. So we'll do another one in January, we'll do another one in February, another one in March, and another one in April. And we want to, by the time we get through this, that there will be many partners, because there's a parallel unity talk going on right now, just to show you how messed up we are. And the parallel unity talk that of the National Black Liberation Movement are being anchored by the Black Alliance for Peace and the Black Workers for Justice. I attended the first two meetings of that. At the first meeting, there were 90 people, and at the second meeting, there were only 9 people. There hasn't been a third meeting, which is why I felt urgently that we needed to do something now. And, of course, I have invited all of them to participate because I see a convergence of all of these efforts towards unity. So I see that we will converge at some point because it is about coming together. So I'm really urging people to get on the Zoom on Saturday night. And I know that you sent out the call, Empress Chi, to everybody. Mm-hmm. So keep on sending it out because the numbers are growing. We had 27 people a couple of days ago, and now we're up to almost 60. I think the last count I heard was 58. And so we really want to get as close to the 100 participant limit as we can get to. So I just thank you so much for allowing me to be on to talk about this. At 72 years old, I'm on sabbatical now. I'm writing a book, and the book is The Black Liberation Movement and Our Allies, 1965 to 2020. It's actually three volumes, 65 to 85, 86 to 96, and 1997 to 2020. So I'm here in Durham, North Carolina, where I'm close to my papers. For your listeners, if they Google Teresa Bellamine Papers, they will see that my papers are at Duke University, and they will see all of the information I have accumulated over these years from the Black Liberation Movement. I have lots of papers for Mumia Abu-Jamal. I have boxes for Muhammad Ahmed. I have boxes for lots of different organizations and their magazines like Freedom Road, Socialist Organizations. There's a wealth of information, and I basically have all of the papers for the Black Workers for Justice because they lost a lot of their material in a storage area that flooded. So I have videos and lots of materials. And as soon as the COVID precautions are lifted at Duke, anybody can go to the Duke University Library and go through those archives and write your own books because I do give permission for people to use the papers for that purpose. But my name is spelled T-H-E-R-E-S-A, last name Elamine, E-L-A-M-I-N. And if people Google Teresa Elamine Papers, they will see what's deposited at the Sally Bingham Center for Women's History and Culture at Duke University Library. But I think I've been collecting the history there, and the SNCC Legacy Project is also archived at Duke, as well as John Hope Franklin. There's a whole building named for him there. And so Duke is a place where there's quite a bit of important archives of the movement. And I was glad to put my papers there. So I just want to say to folks to join the Kwanzaa Umoja Unity Talks on Saturday. That's tomorrow, December 26th, 6 to 8 p.m.
And Sister Teresa, how can they register? Where do they need to go?
Well, there's a Zoom link, and you have it. And so there is it's just a regular meeting ID, and I was hoping that you would have the meeting ID handy because there's somebody else who's handling that part. But we sent out the call, and I think you sent out the call to all of the people in your network, right, Empress?
Yes. So this is what we need to do, because I wasn't sure if there was another, because sometimes with the Zoom meetings, there's also a telephone number that people can call. So, but there's only just the link. So family, if you haven't gotten the email, just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we'll send you the link. Okay, you do need to register. So, again, if you want that link, you can email me at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. You can call or text, and we'll send you the link. Okay? So, Teresa, before we
Well,
oh, go ahead.
When they register, when they click on the link to register, what they will get back is the Zoom information, which also will give them the call-in numbers. That's why it's so important to register, because you can do like any other Zoom meeting. You can do it by phone or you can do it by computer. But they have to register with the link you're going to send them to their email or to their mobile phone through a text message. I'm not the one who's handling that. We actually have a committee, and the committee includes Bilal Suni Ali, Lucy Murphy out of D.C., who sings in like seven different languages, so people may know her, Daryl Moke, who also is co-chair of the Black Caucus of the Green Party of the United States. I'm on the committee, as well as George Friday, my sister, George Friday, who is in charge of the Zoom, and so she'll be the moderator for the event. So the five of us came together to plan this over the last few weeks. It hasn't been long. We came together. And now we have all these artists, so people are going to have the benefit of an actual concert. Because when we finish the political discussion, the last 20 minutes of the Zoom meeting will actually be a concert. And if people know Bilal Tuli Ali, he is the most amazing jazz saxophonist. And so he's going to have some of his music. And so we're going to have drumming in the beginning so that we really celebrate Kwanzaa with the drums. So people don't want to miss it. It's not just talk. It's going to be cultural inspiration as well. So I'm counting on talking with everyone tomorrow night, because the chat will be live, and I know lots of important information will be posted in the chat. But each speaker will have 5 minutes each, and there are 5 speakers. There may be 6 by the time we get to the meeting, but then we open up the discussion, and all participants will be able to put themselves on the stack, and they will have 2 minutes each. So it's not just a webinar where you get to listen to other people. If you get on the stack, you can also speak for 2 minutes, and you can say a lot in 2 minutes. I know I'm taking a lot longer than 2 minutes here, but I do thank you, Empress. And if anybody has any questions or anything else you want me to talk about, I'll be glad to.
Okay, well, let's see. Family, if you have any questions or comments, you can press 1 now. And I do see one that does. So, caller, you are at 9808. Your mic is open. Welcome to this session of New Day, the special edition. 9808.
You can, I can put it. And if you want, I can put the,
okay. 9808, did you have a comment for us or a question? 9808? Okay. Going on. Okay. Maybe they pressed 1 by mistake. Okay. Let's see if there's anyone else that has a comment or a question. Again, if you do, you can press 1 now, and we certainly will welcome your comment or question. Well, I have a comment, my sister. Oh, here we go with someone, okay. 7227, you have a question or a comment for us. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
This is Yona L. Carson in Atlanta.
Hey, Brother Yona, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
I
really want to thank you for pulling me in on this conversation this evening. It's been very, very pleasant hearing what you're talking about. I look forward to supporting you in any and every way I can. There's a lot of things I want to talk about, but not here. I don't want to come and preempt your hour. Thank you very much. We're going to talk more about this. You know what? My thing is about fundraising. I like to help the sister get some money to move this project forward. We want to support everything. So I'm here for you. You got my number. Keep me posted. Q, listen, I want to thank you, sisters. I'm going to give you one update. The brothers have to support you more in what you're doing. If we don't, then, you know, we're not worth what we are. That's all I can say. So listen, y'all keep doing your thing. We're here to support you. Talk to you later. Okay. Peace and blessings.
All right, Brother Yona. Thank you so much. And I'm going to come back to you if you'd like, because I'd like to hear more about the projects that you're working on. Because I thank you so much again for emphasizing, you know, the necessity of support. You know, we need it. And this is one of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow as well. And that is why it is that our sisters do not get the kind of support that we should get. With the book that I'm writing, I'm going to make it very clear, as Sister Teresa is writing a book as well, but I'm going to make it very clear that this is a contradiction that is totally unacceptable, meaning how can we see 2 million Black women come together, ready to work, ready to do various things? It's obvious, and if it's not so obvious, you know that Black women will do things if the things are put in place that needs to be there. Well, when we attempted to do that, we not only ran into all kinds of sabotage and other kinds of things, the people that we thought would support, meaning those that say they're nationalist, pan-Africanist, radical, black this, black that, we thought if they saw 2 million black women, they would at least invite us to something or whatever. I can tell you that in 20 years, with all these black studies departments and various organizations and all of that, if we've been invited to 10 in 20 years, that would be an amazing number to be able to report. You see, even though people celebrate Black History Month and Women's History Month, we're never included, even though we're the largest gathering in the world of any women. So the contradiction for us is one that is just unacceptable, in that when people talk about how much they love history, and don't let me tell them how much they love black women. I mean, that's just like, you know, I've realized now that's such a joke with so many. It's a good conversation. But over these past years, I've made it a point to, and again, and I'm not knocking brothers, believe me, the brothers who have made an assertive and consistent effort in supporting not just us, MWM, but black women, period, they got my utmost respect. Trust me. And we say anything that we can do to help and assist our brothers that are doing various projects, just give us a call. We'll help market. We'll help do whatever. If there's a black man, an organization that's doing some serious work, we are committed all the way to support you. But if you bull jiving, we're going to expose you. Point blank.
In this
day and age, we've got to. So go ahead, Brother John.
I was just going to say this. Do you realize that time and circumstance have put your group in the most perfect circumstance you could possibly be in? In about 2 weeks, every single one of you, is going to have $600 apiece. Individually, it's only $600, but collectively, that's $600 million. Do you know what you can do with $600 million? And you don't even have to spend it. All you have to do is present it. Buckminster Fuller said, change a thing by attacking that thing. You change a thing by creating a new model that makes that old model obsolete. Mm. And that's what I want to show you with this program, with the New Freedom Project, that will show you how to, in 2 weeks, I know what you're planning for the future, but in 2 weeks, an incredible opportunity will be placed in your lap. So the women will not have to ask anybody for anything, but they will be able to collectively stand together and do what they want, because they will have the economic power simply of capitalizing on the moment, because those COVID checks are coming out. And when they come out, everybody's going to have that $600 at the same time. You don't have to go anywhere, because right now everybody's sitting at home because of COVID. Individually, you can't do anything with $600, but collectively, in that one fell swoop, you can create overnight a $600 million business.
Wow. Well, Brother Yona, you're right, but here's the reality, and I find it so interesting. We have something called $2 Tuesday, and we've had it. Sister Kawanda Jones, who has been one of our sisters, you know, incredible. I mean, her work is just unbelievable, what she's done in these past couple of years as a result of, you know, she got introduced to the struggle, unfortunately, in a way that was tragic. Her brother was murdered by the cops in Baltimore, both the city cops and the cops that be at Morgan State were involved in the murder of her brother. And I mean, they beat him, they lied, you know, and then, you know, she had the body exhumed, which showed that, you know, they suffocated him, et cetera. But anyway, she started something for us, because she is an adamant supporter, called $2 Tuesday. We do it every week. I can't tell you, I mean, you'd be surprised how folks won't even give you $2. You know?
Well,
so you're right. They have that. They got that $600 coming, but because of the programming that our women and men, but in this case that our women have been subjected to, and that's why MWM has been consistent and continue to fight to change the mindset of our women. But if we can't even get the conscious women, the women who say they are about us as a people, if we can't even get them to support in any kind of way, how are we going to reach the masses who, you know, for the most part, have little or no insight into what's really going on? So it's a real struggle, but we're committed to it, and we know we will be victorious.
Well, that's what I want to share with you. Exactly how you do that.
All right, my
brother.
I'm here
for you, sir.
We will definitely talk, and I know you're going to be leaving the country soon, but we will definitely get this stuff ready because we're ready. We're ready. That's the bottom line. We are ready now to move to the next level. And when we do our international Black Human Rights We Charge Genocide concert, that's going to make a serious difference. That's worldwide. And so, you know, we'll be telling you more. You and others will be telling you more about that. And by the way, Sister Teresa, Baba Bilal Suni Ali has already committed to be a part of that concert, along with Baba Abiodun from The Last Poet. We're working on India Ivory. We're working on some other, you know, top names that people, you know, are more familiar with. But that will be a 24-hour virtual Black Human Rights Justice Now conference. Concert. So that's gonna put us in a different kind of modality. So we're looking forward to that, Brother Yona, and definitely your support with that.
I'll be here.
All right, family. We're going to go back to Sister Teresa. And again, we're going to recap for tomorrow. We are hoping that you all will, in fact, take the time to support. It's only for 2 hours. And there's going to be a lot of good information, and it's kind of a kickoff for a series that's going to be happening. It looks to be maybe the next 5 months for this kind of dialogue. It'll be some different topics, different speakers, but still the focus is the same, and that is self-determination, Black liberation. Now, I know some of that sounds a little scary for some, but unfortunately, in this day and age, if you're not striving for us to be self-determined, to have our own, to be at a level where we can begin to move in a certain kind of way in this day and age, the sister just shared. She's been doing this for 50 years plus. You're telling me in 2020, 2021, we can't now focus on having our own schools, our own health facilities, and other things that are necessary, not only for our survival, but for us to be able to advance and secure the next generation. If folks is talking about getting a grant and some corporate sponsoring, and then want to, you know, use the psychology of, well, you know, these are our tax dollars too, and that's all you're doing, then guess what? You're fronting. If that's all you're talking about and trying to do. So,
Empress.
Here's what we're saying. We're saying, family, get that, do that, but support those who are also striving to make certain we have our own independent everything, okay? We have to move forward with that. Lastly, we want to remind everyone, 7 days is coming for Kwanzaa. We want to make Kwanzaa this year and future years, but starting 2020, let's make this of some action, not just the commemoration and the celebration. How about some commitment and dedication to action? Tomorrow's Umoja. Next day, Kuti Jandalia. Next day. Commit to do something. And we're asking you, there's 3 areas we're asking you to do something about. We're talking about political prisoners. Please go to the Jericho Movement website. Jericho Movement website. Let me see if it's .com or .org. I'll check that for you in a minute. The bottom line is they have the listing of political prisoners. They have the pictures. They have their birthday. They have their cases. They have their website. Please go
to the Jericho Movement website. Select a political prisoner. Send them a letter, a card, something, or send the information out to somebody you know, your group, your organization. If there's a campaign connected to them, be a part of the campaign right now. As Sister Teresa said, Russell Maroon Schultz, who is a political prisoner for probably, if not 50 years, close to it. And we come up, brothers, see, black men, y'all can talk about how tough you are and how this and that, but let me tell you, there's some brothers who was about it. And we had Brother Jihad on our program when we had Brother Mike Africa on the other day. And Brother Jihad said, look, you know, for some of these brothers, they tell you straight up, yeah, they did what they did. Period. Period. They ain't trying to dress nothing up. So you got black men who literally fought the system one-on-one. Some of them, unfortunately, ended up in captivity. So you're saying that as a black man, we should not be trying to get that brother out? Well, this is all I can say. If you're not, you need to turn in your black card as far as I'm concerned. For real. How could somebody take that kind of stand for us and we not do whatever we can to get them out? Well, that's what we're talking about. So please go to the Jericho Movement website. Look at those pages. Look at the information that that organization has been providing for years. Do something. Again, if it's just to send the information out to somebody you know, that's a help. If there's a campaign connected directly to them, send that out or do something in relevant to that, that's in reference to that campaign. You got Russell Maroon Schultz. You have Iman Jamil Alameen. You have Dr. Matula Shakur. All of them right now need compassionate release. They're all very ill right now. Russell Maroon Schultz, stage 4 cancer and COVID. Iman Jamil Alameen, cancer. Dr. Matula Shakur just had an operation, just getting over COVID. They need to get out now. I mean, they all do, but right now there are a few that are even more serious. So, family, please go to that website. If that's not your cup of tea, okay, here's something else for you. And we'll have River Obi on tomorrow night, who is just did a campaign with children to talk about the issue of homeless children, black homeless children. So we'll be talking more about that tomorrow night. Lastly, again, do something for our sisters that are incarcerated. A lot of times when we hear about prison, stop prison reform and prison mission, how often do you hear about black women? How often do you hear about a campaign that's relevant to black women that are incarcerated? So we are going to talk tomorrow more about Reverend Joy Powell. And also a black woman who is incarcerated, whose husband is, you know, they're doing a lot about her husband, Pastor Victor. But Mrs. Victor has also been incarcerated for the same period of time and is getting no attention for the most part at all. So going back to what Sister Teresa was saying, our women, we got to deal with some things that is going on with what's happening or not happening with and for our women. And family, again, this is not about feminism or what we're saying, for the record. This is about fairness. This is about telling the truth about what's really going on and how for centuries our women have been either pushed to the side, marginalized, used. Okay, a lot of black women did a lot of work in the 60s, 70s in particular when it came to civil rights and black liberation. But how many of their names do you remember? And even the ones that you names you never know because the way it was structured, it was designed that you didn't know. Anyway, I digress. Let's go.
Oh, well, sister, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the one thing I think we have to do is raise the level of discourse around systems of oppression. When the Black Radical Congress came together in October 1998, we answered that question of what would it take for us to be free. And it's about dismantling systems of oppression. So capitalism is a system of oppression. Imperialism, endless war is a system of oppression. Male domination or patriarchy, where women always earn less than men, where women are always subjugated to a lesser life, where 70% of people living in poverty are women and children, because women by far end up with the children, and that poverty is just unbelievable. So the whole welfare reform that attacked on Black women in 1996 drove Black women into deeper poverty. It was wrong. And then white supremacy is always wrong. So if we eliminate those systems of oppression, not only will we be free as Black women, but everybody else will be free too. That's the conclusion we came up with. And I have that political clarity in my mind. And I want to just say it out loud so we can get clear. We're talking about dismantling systems of oppression so that we can be free. And I do want us to, those who are planning on being in the conversation tomorrow night, where we're talking about that system of oppression, patriarchy, male domination, just to be frank, there are some brothers in the Black Liberation Movement who would say there's no such thing as patriarchy. Well, I beg to differ. And so we have to begin to look at that system of oppression that wants women to not have equal leadership in the movement. But this is a beautiful time that we're in now, where the higher consciousness of Black Lives Matter. See that BLM, Black Liberation Movement, Black Lives Matter. There is a higher consciousness among younger people based on that movement around Black Lives Matter. So it's not as bad as it once was, because there is a growing level of consciousness. And I really have been watching that. All of those young people who got in the streets after George Floyd was killed, murdered in the out open, everybody in the whole world saw what racism is really like at the hands of the police in the United States. The whole world saw it. There was a special session of the UN convened at the urgence of the African nations to address what's going on in the United States. The United States is becoming a pariah in the world in terms of human rights, and we should push ahead, keep the pressure on the United States government to get their knees off of our necks. We have got to do that, because with all those millions of people in the street worldwide, how much have we advanced getting control of the police? Not much. Killing somebody just yesterday. You know, it is just really outrageous what the police have become in the United States in terms of murdering us with impunity. So we have got to stand up. We have got to unite in a way that we aren't just going in the streets and demonstrating every now and then, but we want to change the public policy. We want to put pressure on the United States government to get our reparations for all that they have done to us. So we have got to get organized and unified in order to advance those kind of demands. So come to the unity talk tomorrow night. It's 100 people who can get in it, and we're not at 100 people yet. So when people contact you, Empress, please send them the call so that they can click on and register.
I most certainly will. And again, family, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text me at 267-636-3802. And going back to what Sister Teresa just said, one of our missions for MWM is, as Baba Kwame Ture taught us, to organize, organize, organize. And with that, that's why we have right now an immediate agenda that we're implementing as well as a protracted one. You know, the one thing that Sister Teresa mentioned or said that kind of brought back, you know, years ago people saw the beating of Rodney King. And all over the country folks were, you know, doing various things in response to that. Well, that was, what, 30 years ago or something? And so we see these intervals of time and things happening, and we keep seeing it, but then after a while, it goes back to where it was. And so we've got to look now to make certain that we keep this momentum going. We've had a bomb dropped in this city. 64 homes went up in flames. 11 people were murdered. And for, you know, a couple of months, there was a lot of talk about it. But for over 40 years, in Philadelphia in particular, it was very little talk about it, comparatively speaking. So we know that we've got to keep things moving. That's why MWM has a 3-year action plan to charge this government with genocide, to take the first 1,000,000 signatures to the United Nations as a start, but to organize in that process, to educate our people right now about what human rights are, why it's important. That's why over the past couple of weeks from December 10th, we talked about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, provided the information to the masses of our people, and we'll continue to do that, particularly once COVID kind of, you know, dissipates. We'll be in the hood, in our communities, with pamphlets, with flyers, with information put in our stores, things of that nature, so that people will be educated about why we say we charge genocide and how they can get involved. So we'll be telling you more about that as we proceed for the next 7 days, family, in talking about the Nguza Saba, matching the Nguza Saba with the Ma'at principles. How about that? As a plan of action and a formula to connect the Nguza Saba, the seven principles, along with some of the seven principles of Ma'at. Anyway, we'll talk more about that tomorrow when we do our regular weekly program of New Day Resurrection. I want to remind everyone we're now in our 13th year, 13 straight years of independent, unapologetic Black talk, straight up. So we hope that you all will continue to support. We're going to go back to Sister Teresa and get her closing comments for tonight, and then we're going to move on to our last segment. We started off with Mumia Abu-Jamal. I think Brother Yona did mention that he did hear it. I thought something went wrong with my boards, but we may be able to pull up another one for Mumia before we close out. But at any rate, let's go back to Sister Teresa and get her closing comments for tonight.
Well, Sister, I think I've said all I need to say tonight.
Okay.
As you know, I'm pretty elderly now, and so it's about my bedtime. I'll keep listening in as you finish the rest of the program, but I just want folks to try to register for tomorrow night. But I am just so impressed with you all these years in your show, and it's just fabulous, and so we have to keep lifting up these opportunities that you provide for us to talk about advancing the Black Liberation Movement, because that's what you're about, which is why I'm so glad you'll be one of our speakers tomorrow night. And remember, Empress, you only have the 5 minutes, but you'll be able to respond. You'll be able to respond to the participants. We'll take 5 participants, and then 2 of the speakers will respond, and then 5 more participants, and then 2 different speakers will respond. And so during that part of the discussion, it's a 2-minute time limit, but your initial presentation will be 5 minutes, and I know you can focus and deal with those 2 topics of freeing the political prisoners and working to end patriarchy. You said things tonight that I hope you will repeat tomorrow night, because it's just so
important.
We have got to get our people out. We have got to get our people out. And you named the comrades who are ill, and they have gone through such awful health issues. Imam Jamil El-Amin has had significant health issues. Mumia Abu-Jamal, he's had significant health issues. Russell Maroon Show, you know, Dr. Matushin, we have got to get them out. We cannot let them die in prison. So
that's
fundamentally the charge that we have right now. And that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow night. How can we unify so that we're all working together to get them all out? I know sometimes people have their campaigns and they're just working on this one campaign, but we have got to unite to get them all out. That is my concern, that we are unified to get them all out. So that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow night. Thank you, sister, for having me. I'm going to put myself on mute, and then I'll make you listen again.
All right. Well, thank you. And we're going to go to, we do have one more caller that had a question or a comment. And before we do, caller, we're coming to you at 12:30, meaning 1230. That's your last numbers. I'm coming to you in a minute. I want to just say something quickly that Sister Teresa just reminded me of. Of course, we did have Mumia join us last week when we did our evening with Mike Africa, and we talked about 40 years a prisoner with Brother Mike, and Mumia called in. It was incredible. It was wonderful to hear his voice and to feel his spirit. And saying that, family, because come 2021, it is official. The Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism. Yep, Mumia said yes. And so we asked him if he would work on a curriculum for us. We will do what's known as correspondence courses with him, as well as a few folks on the ground who will work with us on that. But it'll be Mumia's curriculum that we will be implementing, along with other kinds of things that he will and others will direct us to tighten up our skills as reporters, both radio, TV, as investigative reporters, as writers, media communications, all of that. We're getting ready to, those who want to learn it, your beginners, those who want to get better at it, there'll be something for you. Again, the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism is official. It will kick off in April, right around his Earth Day time period, and we will make certain, of course, that all of his information, campaigns about his liberation, getting him freed, etc., that's a part of the mission. Okay, so we'll be telling you more about that very soon, but Mumia has agreed to work on a curriculum for us that will help bring about training and other kinds of capabilities for us to make certain that we have our own independent media and information apparatuses readily available. We won't have to depend on the mainstream or any of that. We have our own investigators, our own reporters, and coming from top-notch people that we know and trust. and certainly have the expertise. So keep that in mind, because we're going to be dealing with registration for that very soon. If you want to be a student or a participant or a teacher, okay? If you have that skill, certainly we're talking about the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism. All right. Okay, we're going to go to caller at 1230. That is. And 1230, your mic is open. Welcome to the Second of New Day.
Thank you for having me, Empress Chi. This is Minister Kujenga Elia Ashe in Columbus, Ohio, Ambassador to the United
Greetings,
Nations.
Greetings, greetings. And I'm so glad it is you, because I was going to mention it. You're going to be on our program for tomorrow. And as Sister Teresa mentioned, she talked about someone being murdered yesterday. And, of course, you there in Ohio had two very recent murders of two brothers. And so tomorrow we're going to go in depth. But you have the mic, my brother.
Okay. I have registered for the conference at 6 o'clock. Is that the one that you talked about me being a speaker on at 6 o'clock?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've already registered for that. So my comment is, first, I want to thank Sister Teresa for her years in the struggle. I've also had 50 years in the struggle. One of my best mentors was Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael.
Yes.
From 1972 until 1989. But everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has things that they do right, things that they do wrong. We're human.
Yeah, sure.
And perfection is not a human quality. And one of the things that has happened over the years, in the 50 years that I've been in the struggle and in the movement, I've seen people do a lot of things. People are still doing a lot of things. You have Dr. Higginbotham, who does the slavery piece, the United Slavery piece, trying to get reparations by talking about us as a group of ex-slaves to America. You've got I call him the captain for the colored, Walimu Kabila out in California, who does the National Elders piece. You've got Queen Mother Deloise Blakely, good friend of mine, and goes to the UN with me once a year. We haven't gone this year because of the COVID. The UN was closed, as well as the whole New York City was closed down as well. But she's in jeopardy in her home for youth and women, youth.
We had
Harlem.
We had her on, Brother Kujenga. We had her on a couple of times in the past.
I heard it. So, I mean, you got that. You got all these groups that are doing a lot of different things. The problem is, my sister, is that we as a people, we're just like the old ancient Hebrew Israelites and the old ancient Kemites. We're always at each other. We are always knocking each other. Instead of building each other up and supporting each other as everybody does their thing to try and defeat the system, we're constantly knocking at each other. So I look forward to Umoja, unity. You know, my name is Kujenga, which is Kiswahili. That wasn't my given name. I was born Everett Thomas Chubb, but I changed my name as a spiritual revolution in 1972 to Kujenga Elia Ashe. I spent 16 years in prison as a political prisoner, part of which was for going to Libya in 1987 and meeting Muammar Gaddafi and his family after his home had been bombed in 86. So I had two women that helped me, my wife and my mother, helped me through those 16 years. I was sentenced to a life sentence. I did 16 years on a statutory life sentence. So I know what it's like to be in a prison. I know the brothers that are in the prison. Some of them need to be in the prison. Some of them don't need to be in the prison. But at the same time, the ego that is in all of the great so-called great leaders of all of these groups clashes and people don't want to support each other. I support everybody. I send my $2. I was at your 2017 march in Philly for the 20th anniversary of the march. I got sick. I caught the flu. Just died from it. But you know, I was at the 20th anniversary of the Nation of Islam's march. I couldn't be at the original one, and I couldn't be at your original one because I was in a penitentiary in Michigan on a false charge. And some quote-unquote black women helped the universities, Ohio State and Michigan University and the feds, put me in there. So, I mean, it's a clash of egos, it's a clash of people, cultures. And what we've got to start doing is really focus on the true enemy. And I look at the founder of the economic rights movement. Yonah L. was talking to you, my good friend. I work closely with him. We're doing some projects with some gold, some other kind of things. He's doing some great work in Atlanta. But the monopoly finance capitalism, which Sister Teresa talked about, she has called it capitalism. But as Kwame Ture taught me, it's monopoly finance capitalism. That must be dismantled. That must be destroyed. And that causes 90% of the problems of the whole world, not just our community, but the entire planet. So my focus is on the World Bank, the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, the International Monetary Fund, and the Bank for International Settlements, all of which are domiciled in Washington, D.C. My good friend Bob Brown is in Washington, D.C. He knows you quite well. Bob and I worked closely together since 1974. Basically, we've got to stop knocking each other, let people do their thing, support everybody who's doing something positive, and then put our focus on this monetary system that oppresses us all. Everybody's trying to get $1 or $2, $20, $40, $3 or $4 million, $3 or $400 million to do their thing. We're trying to put the twos and threes together. You know, they all talked about the stimulus checks, trying to put together our stimulus checks. You were telling him why that may not work. He was saying he had a plan to make it work. I mean, but basically it's an economic problem. And everybody has a piece of the puzzle. It's like a broken, shattered mirror. And everybody wants to claim that their piece of the mirror is the whole mirror, and it's not. Not even the economic rights movement, the founder, is the whole thing. But I just want to commend you for what you have done. I want to encourage you to keep on pushing and to keep on doing what you're doing. I look forward to tomorrow night. I want to thank Sister Teresa for coming on and doing what she's doing. She said it was about her bedtime. I hope she had a chance to hear me. We've had two deaths in Columbus recently. One brother was shot 2 days ago. Brother Andre was shot as he was coming out of his garage. The cop turned his camera off. All you can see, the brother had his cell phone in his hand. The camera went off. Next thing you know, the brother was shot to death.
And so we're going to definitely go into that tomorrow.
We had another brother shot at the by the Franklin County Sheriff's Department. He was shot going into his grandmother's house. He had the key in the door. The cop shot him in the back. Both of those are still on. But this is nothing new. My brother was killed. My brother was killed in 1984. He was shot in the back. He was breaking into a car and was running away. But they got a screwdriver in his hand, and two undercover cops shot him in the back 6 times. So I know firsthand police brutality, but this is nothing new. There's been hundreds of people in Ohio, right on up to Brother Tamir Wright in Cleveland that was shot in the park. Ohio's an open carry state. He had some type of an air gun or BB gun. They shot him to death. But it's an open carry state. If he had been a white boy or a white girl with the gun, they wouldn't have shot him. It's an open carry state. You're allowed to carry a gun openly. So all of this is nothing new. It's been happening since slavery. The police have been designed as paddy rollers ever since the days of chattel slavery ended. The police have set up themselves as a police enforcement, slave catching, community busting, black man and woman killing kind of a force in our community. So this is nothing new. It hasn't changed. As you correctly said, you know, we come together when we see it on TV. when George Floyd was killed, or back when Rodney mm-hmm. King was beat, come together, then mm-hmm. we forget about it. That's all the distractions. Mm-hmm. Our children are miseducated to the point they're living in a nursery rhyme. They're all of our kids on these virtuality, playing the games. They're dancing to the rap music. Our children, I've got grandchildren. I mean, it's a day-to-day grind to try to get their heads out of that, out of the stupidity that they're doing. So you try to teach them principles. You try to teach them love, show them love, and teach them principles. But the distractions are many. So you need to do a lot of the things that Sister Teresa was talking about, even above economics, which is one of my primary focus. So there's a lot of things. I was in the Congressional Black Caucus emergency meeting on February the 4th with my Congresswoman Joyce Beatty. I spoke in the United States Capitol after Dr. Barber spoke. I was the first person to the mic, and they talked about a movement. Well, okay, you just saw Trump pardon murderers. He killed 17 people in Iraq. He pardoned 4 murderers who shot innocent people. He just pardoned 40, 50 people. Well, now you got Biden coming in. You got Sister Kamala coming in. Well, it's time to get to them and say, hey, these brothers that we went out to prison and sisters we went out to prison now, we need you to pardon them just like Trump pardoned those murderers. And we got to put pressure on them to do so because if Trump can do it and get away with it, why can't we do it and get away with it? So there are a lot of different tactics we got to use. The United Nations, as I talked about the other day, the United Nations Charter on Human Rights that we put together, all those things have to be used. We've got to use every aspect, every lane. Let everybody drive their bus lane. Everybody stay in their lane, do their route, and stop knocking each other and start supporting each other. I yield the floor. That's my comment. I look forward to talking with you tomorrow night. May the Most High bless you.
All right, Brother Kajinga. Well, thank you so much. And family, he will be joining us tomorrow night. We're going to go more in depth with the latest murders of 2 of our black men in Ohio. We're going to really examine it closer, get some of the fuller details, and really, again, look at what it is that we're going to do. Now, with what Brother Kajinga just said, I just want to kind of say this, that for me, it is not so much about attacking or, you know, complaining about us or various groups or whatever. But what I do know, my brother, is if we do not begin to address these issues amongst ourselves, with ourselves, we cannot continue because there's a lot of misrepresentation and misinformation. And because there's not enough that's being productively and righteously said and done about it, a lot, particularly the younger folks, get misled. And see, I know because I'm a perfect example. When I came into the struggle, like I said to most, I'm not as old, I'm not the age of some. So when I came in, certain things had already dissipated. It was gone, you know. My point is that, you know, some of us were not able to get some of the information or guidance or what have you. And so we ended up walking into stuff because the ones that were able to tell you the truth about certain things had already kind of got into the system and they were now part of it. And so rather than them hipping to you to some stuff that was real, they kept their mouths closed. Because they didn't want to jeopardize their new jobs, either working for the city or corporation. So my point is that we've got to now be very clear about responsibilities and not allow the next generation to walk into stuff that they didn't unnecessarily had to get into like that. See, so I say that because I know that happened to me. And I know it had to happen to others as well. And I said, on my watch, now, I would not sit back and allow that to happen to anyone, no matter what generation it was. And I know that this is what's going on, and I'm not going to speak up against it or about it, then I'm negligent and a part of the problem. So I'm just saying there is intelligent, diplomatic ways to do things. And then I'm from the streets, meaning I can rock and roll in any city and walk and be amongst the people and be very comfortable. And so that says and means that there's a responsibility that some of us have, my brother, and some of us are going to step up to that. And again, it is not to bring about unnecessary criticism or ill feelings or anything like that. But what we have to now be honest, we now have to deal with some issues, just as Sister Teresa said. And no, we're not suggesting that people should be perfect or anything like that. But people are selling us out, okay? And that's going to happen. But it has to get into how, to what degree are we going to continue to allow it to happen and to misrepresent, you know, our people and to misguide and things of that nature. You know, so I'm really saying, and now are committed, working our plan, but also working with others. Because see, now I expect nothing. After 20 years, I have no expectation beyond a certain point. And now know to stay focused, but it also means whenever possible, however possible, work with whomever. Like you said, we all have pieces of the puzzle. And unfortunately, people get in the way to stop you from bringing your peace. And at some point, it has to be, you get in my way, we're going to have a problem. And that's where I'm at with this now, because I've had enough of it, of people getting in the way of really it being productive and progressive for our people. We've let that happen. And as you know, I'm in the city where the boulet was born, so you can imagine what's going on here. Because this has the longest history of that kind of behavior. Lastly, yes, we do have to focus on the enemy, and we do. We're very clear about that. But we have to also look at the enemies within. And we also have to look at doing the work on yourself. So while we're focusing on trying to do all this other external stuff or big stuff, we're going to change the system and all of that, I'm down with that and committed to it. But I know we also have to learn how to treat each other a little better. We have to deal with one another, changing the behavior of oneself. Because all that other stuff, until we get with the nitty-gritty about what we need to do for helping us to be better. As Ken Bridges once said, there's internal reparations, you see. There's the reparations that's external that we're talking about for our people and so, but there's also internal reparations. There's internal work for us to be better for each other that has to be dealt with. And I dare say it's about cleaning house to some degree. So we're going to talk more about this during Kwanzaa family. And one other final thing, I was blessed to spend just a few hours with Brother Kwame Terrell. Again, there's not many who literally ask me to come visit with them. Sorry, there's a few of our greats who, you know, was there or who reached out to me or, you know, embraced me. Baba Kwame was one of them, and I got the opportunity to sit with him, just he and I, one-on-one. Just a few months before he became an ancestor. So, and we had our own one-on-one conversation about some very interesting things. With that said, I feel very confident in the work that I'm doing because I had someone who walked that path say to me, yeah, I like what you're doing. And you know what? You need to continue to do it the way you do it. That's what he said. So, at any rate, family, we're going to pick up tomorrow and do our regular program. Again, if you want to get information about how you can connect to the Umoja Black Liberation Movement, your Umoja talk for tomorrow at 6 o'clock, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Tomorrow we're going to also talk more about the case of Reverend Joy Powell. We're going to give you her mailing address. She is a political prisoner, and we'll define that for you in how it applies to her. As also, we're going to give you information about Sister Mrs. Tanya Victor. okay, who, again, is incarcerated, children taken away from her. Her children are now adopted in whoever city. Nobody really knows where they are. She hasn't seen those children in years now. We want to talk about that more tomorrow as we talk about unity, okay? All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We want to just remind you also that the last day of Kwanzaa, we're going to be presenting a virtual Zoom that's going to be a black marketplace. So those of you who have products that you make that are for or made by black folks, we invite you to join the marketplace. It'll be a visual, a virtual, black marketplace. Again, that'll be the last day of Kwanzaa, January the 1st, the day of faith. Again, if you want more information about that, you can also email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And lastly, if you are interested in being involved in our first Black Human Rights Recharge Genocide 21 concert, virtual international concert, that's going to happen on February 21st, 24 hours. It will also be a tribute to Malcolm X, who became an ancestor on that day, as well as Nina Simone, who was born on that day. And, of course, Nina Simone is one of our 20 sister saints. Okay, so again, if you want more information about presenting, participating, you can do it live or you can tape it. But you have to send it to us so that we can review it first. And if you want more information about that, just, again, email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We want to thank you all again for all that you do. We love our brothers. Needless to say, those black men that are serious, that definitely represents the true spirit of the original black man. Love you much, respect you much. I'll reserve what I'm going to say about some other stuff later, okay? But definitely it has to be said and done. There has to be some differentiation about who we're talking about when we are making reference to certain. And so, as they often say, not everyone that is our skin or looks like our skin is our kin. And so, unfortunately, those lines are being drawn in the sand. That's it. Again, family, I want to remind you, please go to the Jericho Movement site. Please take a look at the political prisoners. Do something in these 7 days. Do something in regards to supporting the effort, the campaigns to free our political prisoners. Okay? So, again, we'll tell you more about that tomorrow. For now, we're going to close out. And you know, family, what we always say, we want to leave you as we oftentimes greet you. And that is in the spirit of my Island Hotel. But remember, there can never be any real peace, meaning Hotel, until there's truly, truly some justice. And we're not talking about justice as other people define it, we're talking about justice as it is mandated for us. As we always say, if there's no justice, I don't know if you're still with us, Brother Virginia or Brother Yona, but if we say if there's no justice and you're there, you know what the response is. No peace. All right, family, we remind you again, we'll be back with you tomorrow, 10:30 p.m., our regular time. And tomorrow, Brother Kujinga will be joining us, along with Brother Obi Eguna. He'll be joining us as well. And hopefully you will, too. In the meantime, we're going to, let's see if I can find, I was looking for the other Mumia piece, and I am not finding it. So we're going to go for the other one.
Empress Chi. No peace.
Yes.
My phone.
Oh, there you go.
No,
no doubt, no doubt. All right, we're going to close out with Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. And family, we'll be back again tomorrow, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, our regular program. New Day, Resurrection and Liberation.
A Pittsburgh voice.
from COVID-19. According to published reports, at least some 400 prisoners in Pennsylvania state prisons have been infected with the coronavirus. Today, we'll hear from one. Sergio Hyland is imprisoned at the state prison in Chester. In early November 2020, he was put in Chester's infirmary and soon tested positive for COVID-19. He writes, "The virus was impacting my oxygen levels, causing them to drop. So I was placed on steroids. However, the steroids were having a negative interaction. They were making my blood sugar extremely high. Hyland had another problem, for he was already diabetic. Nor did COVID-19 treat him well," he writes. "This virus is rough. I've had nights where I literally thought I would die. Sometimes I wished it would just happen so the pain would end." According to Sergio Hyland, several prisoners have died at the Chester State Prison from COVID-19. And perhaps more shocking, Hyland claims some staff members wear masks there. Sergio Hyland provides a prisoner's voice in the time of COVID. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel